Welcome to Top Shelf at the Merrick Library with your host, Carol Ann Tack. Welcome to Top Shelf at Merrick Library. I am your host, Carol Ann Tack. Thanks, as always, for joining me. I have been a fan of today's guest, Katie Regan, since her United States debut, Little Big Love. Gosh, that book, I still think about Zach Henderson, his mom, Juliet, and that story. I mean, author Kristen Higgins says the book will steal your heart. And it did that for sure. So listeners, in case you have missed Little Big Love, you know what to do. It's on the shelves at Merrick Library, and you can also find it at your local independent bookstore. That's Little Big Love by today's guest, Katie Regan. But I'm here today to talk about Katie Regan's brand new United States release. It's her second in the United States. She's here with us to talk about How to Find Your Way Home. Katie Regan, thank you for taking the time to join me, the listeners, and the patrons of Merrick Library's Top Shelf.
It's all my pleasure. It's all mine. Thank you so much for having me.
A little bit about Katie Regan. She was brought up in a seaside town in Northern England, which to me sounds absolutely lovely, and studied at the University of Leeds before moving to London, where she worked as a journalist and as a commissioning editor at Marie Claire magazine. Katie has written 4 books published in the UK. Hopefully they'll make their way here. And as I said earlier, Little Big Love was her US debut. How to Find Your Way Home will be released on February 15th. So you can get in on that as soon as possible. Again, Katie, thank you for joining me. I know you have such a busy day, and I really do appreciate your time.
Really, my pleasure. Thank you.
Okay. So one of the things I do is I keep a lookout for authors whose books I have loved, and I track them with a what's next for them. And then Berkeley lets me know back in December of 2022 that you have a new book coming out. It's called How to Find Your Way Home. And I immediately asked to be included as a stop on your tour. And How to Find Your Way Home magically comes in the mail. And I couldn't tell you the leap of joy that came out of me when that happened. Okay. So let's get to the book. And if you could, please tell us what How to Find Your Way Home is all about.
Okay. So How to Find Your Way Home is a family drama, much like Little Big Love. And it centers on a brother and sister relationship, Emily and Stephen Nelson. And when we open the book, we find out that Emily is living and working in London as a housing officer, finding flats for homeless people. She works at the local council, and she's been looking for her homeless brother for 17 years. They've been estranged for nearly 20 years. And then one day, Stephen walks into her housing office looking for a flat, and their lives collide. The book is really about that they embark on a birding trip together, and the book really kind of goes back into their childhood to find out the big sort of extraordinary event that catapulted them apart in the first place. And it's about Stephen's an avid bird watcher, and they grew up together on the marshes, the Essex marshes, you know, loving nature, and birds are a big part of the book and the plot, actually. So yes, they embark on this birding trip, and you sort of find out if they can find their way home, you know, literally, but also metaphorically to each other and to finding some peace with the past.
Gosh, it's such a beautiful book. And there is a terrific reader's guide at the end. I don't know who was responsible for putting that together.
Yeah.
Really incredible. You know, you generously tell listeners about the inspiration for this book. If you could share some of that with us.
Yes, Berkeley put together that fabulous reading guide. Back when I was a teenager, I volunteered at a soup kitchen at a homeless center for homeless people. And I was just really struck, and I've never forgotten, you know, the kind of resilience of the people that went there, and also how, when I spoke to them, the distance between them and us was so much sort of smaller, you know, shorter than I thought, and how I was struck by how it only takes a few wrong turns or relationship breakdown or losing a job or addiction or other problems for you to find yourself in the same position. And I've always remembered the people that I met at that homeless shelter. And then I've volunteered a few others since then. And I decided that I would commit to writing a story about a homeless person. And I wanted to explore their struggles, but also explore them as human beings, you know, with dreams and a past and a future. And like anybody else, I wanted to kind of give a voice to homeless people. So that's kind of where the inspiration came from.
Housing insecurity, it can happen to anyone. And there is a sentence early on. There are many sentences in this book for this discussion, for this interview. I didn't know which one to use, but because your writing is so beautiful. But there's a sentence early on when Emily says, so they're having a dinner. Dan and Vanessa are there. James is there. They're having sort of this couple's dinner. It's very beautiful. It's lovely. They have this nice apartment. And Emily sort of steps back from the conversation and she starts thinking as she's there and she says, I'm mesmerized by these people's brazenness, the ease which with they occupy their privileged place in the world. And I am struck by how I inhabit two opposing worlds, the haves and the have-nots, social climbers and socially sunk, and how there really is no justice to which one you end up in.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. There isn't, is there? I'm struck all the time by how the injustice of life, the haves and the have-nots, who gets the opportunities, who doesn't. And I think that's part of the reason why I made it about a brother and sister, because I thought, how could I best sort of illustrate that? And I was interested in how, if you've got a brother and sister who were brought up in the same family with the same opportunities, what's going to make one person end up homeless and one person not? She's got a nice apartment. She's very sort of middle class. So that was kind of the inspiration behind that. And I hope that I explore that in the novel. I very much wanted to explore that kind of, what's the word, unfairness, I suppose.
Because things can turn on a dime, which is evident in the book, the brother and the sister, and how they go on very different paths. Fate takes them in very different directions. Emily and Stephen Nelson, and them trying to find their way back home to each other, to their family. And it's such a good story. And if I may, it's a page turner. I mean, I had to slow myself down on occasion because I did not know what was going to happen. I don't know if you meant to build that suspense. It's not suspense. Well, I don't know how to, what you call that. I don't know what that is.
Yeah, sort of rising stakes and tension, one would hope. I suppose, you know, obviously that is music to my ears. And, you know, it's the biggest compliment to be told that, basically, because what you want your book to be above everything is just a really good story that people want to find out what happened. So that's a really big compliment. Thank you.
Talk about the birding. Stephen, as an artist, he's an ornithologist. The birding for me was spectacular. My uncle was a birder. He has published a few books of his birding photography. So that part of the book really hits home. But tell me about choosing the birds as Stephen's lifeline. And you write that very, very naturally. Did you have any birding experience before this book?
Absolutely not. I mean, if it reads naturally, then I'm delighted because it certainly didn't feel natural to research all that. I mean, I did ask myself at many points throughout writing it, why did I choose to write about a bird watcher when I know nothing about birds? But thankfully, I did meet some people who knew a lot about birds. And my family are fairly bird watching. My dad is. And my parents' next door neighbour, funnily enough, who's this lovely man called Roger, who I think I thank in the acknowledgements, he's obsessed with birds. So I went and had lots of cups of tea with him, and that was really nice. I was just interested in, wrongly or rightly, I was led by the themes at first, and then I had to work really hard to kind of get the story up and running. But I was interested in this theme of migration, you know, like what takes us from one spot to another, you know, why do some people end up on the streets or end up far away from where they were born and raised? And I just loved this parallel with birds, and in particular swifts. I just chose swifts. I mean, it could have been swallows. It could have been any migratory bird. But I suppose that swifts here anyway are synonymous with the arrival of summer, that they're sort of screaming round about May is synonymous with the beginning of summer. And I loved that, the fact that as a little boy, Stephen, who already loved birds anyway, and Canvey Island is a very birdy place. It's very marshy, it's coastal, and it's right sort of from the Thames estuary. So it's got a lot of bird life. And I loved the idea that every May, he looked forward to the arrival of these swifts, who, when I started to research it, I was amazed that swifts travel all those thousands of miles away from Africa, and they come to the specific branch that they were nesting the previous year. So in this little boy's life that's a little bit chaotic because of various reasons, the fact that he can rely on these birds that he comes to love arriving back on practically the same day every year, every spring, I thought was kind of beautiful. And it also, I could weave that into the themes of finding your way home, the homing instinct we all have.
It's just so brilliantly done. When that happens for you, so you're sort of riding along and you're thinking, all right, I want to do this thing where I bring migration in and finding your way back home. And do the swifts come in for you early or just sort of a progressive process and they show up?
Yeah. Do you know what? This book had so many drafts, and so it was kind of about something not entirely different, but the angle was so different right at the beginning. And I think, to be honest, actually, the swifts turned up pretty soon after starting it because I was just mesmerized. But the more I found out about them, I was mesmerized by the wonder of migration. And I thought, I have to kind of somehow manage to weave this in. And actually, I managed to weave in to be quite a big part of the plot, as you find out, the swifts, because the swifts are, I guess, they're something that Stephen can rely on when all else fails. He loves them and he has a kind of relationship with them.
And it's home for him. That's sort of, yeah. If he doesn't have a home physically, he has a home in them.
He has a home in them. He can rely on them. They give him
comfort and the things.
Comfort and stability. And, you know, because he thinks, well, all else fails. I think there's a scene when he's on the moor, Staines Moor, when he leaves Emily's house. And he says, you know, this is where my life is, here, knowing that I can rely on seeing something beautiful when I turn my face to the sky. You know, the fact that you can always rely on nature. And that was a kind of big theme for me throughout it as well.
And that's just you describing it is putting tears in my eyes, because I'm remembering him, that moment, and I don't want to say anything else. I want readers to get there. And, you know, we have a similar thing in the United States. We have every year the swallows come back to Capistrano in California, and like thousands of people go and do that. That's on March 19th. So I understood the swifts returning I got it. I understood that part. Love all of this book. I just love all of this book. Was there another title for How to Find Your Way Home?
Oh, that's an interesting question. There wasn't one that we all went with, but there was many other titles that I suggested and that my editor suggested and my agent suggested. And there was about 30 titles, possible titles that we played around with until we came up with this one. I mean, I think at one point it was going to be called When the Swifts Come Home. But then it was like, I don't think that Swifts has quite the same resonance in the States as it does here, maybe, and so more swallows perhaps, but yes, we wanted it to have home in the title, and that was about it really. But it took us a long time to come up with this title. It took us a long time. Yeah, we couldn't quite find the right one.
I think you were all successful, so go team. As I'm mentioning titles, Little Big Love in the United States was called Little Big Man in the UK. Now, what happens there? I don't know. Is it two different publishing teams sort of decide that it's not going to work, or how does that work?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not ideal, if I'm going to be brutally honest. You know, it's not ideal to have different titles. And I think actually it was called Little Big Man when it came out in hardback in the UK, and then it came out in paperback. No, it came out in hardback actually as Little Big Love in the States, and they then changed it for the paperback in the UK, so that was also called Little Big Love. So it was pretty confusing. I think we had feedback that man in the title didn't work so well in the US.
That's so funny, because I would have, especially with the cover involved, with that cover, I would have just assumed they're referring to the kid. You know, I don't know why.
Yeah. I mean, of course. Yeah. And I loved that cover. The UK one, you mean? The beautiful sunset.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I loved it. But maybe it was quite dark. It was quite moody, and they kind of went with a much brighter, much more sort of optimistic colours with the US. So I suppose it's trial and error with all these things, but I can just say that I'm really happy that they're keeping the same title, if not the same cover, for the UK and USA version of How to Find Your Way Home.
And that was my next question. Did they change the cover? I mean, this looks beautiful, but I'm curious what the cover looks like for the UK version. Is it remarkably different, or is it?
It's similar kind of colors. It's orangey and blue. It's beautiful. Do you know what? I love them both. I really genuinely do. I can't decide which is my favorite, if any, because they've both got birds on. The American one's kind of covered in beautiful bird illustrations, hand-drawn, those are. The UK one, it's got a couple of figures on it and the birds are smaller. But it's kind of those orange and blue sort of sunset colors. There's an awful lot of sunsets and sunrises in the book, because I suppose those are the key times to see birds. But it's gorgeous. Go and look it up after this. It's equally as gorgeous. I'm very lucky. It's equally as beautiful.
And for the podcast page for this episode, I will do both US and the UK covers so people know what to look for. Yeah. Both your books that have been released in the United States, they're just big-hearted stories, life's big questions, the power of love. And unless we order your earlier books through, say, Waterstones or Griffin Books or, I don't know, the Portobello Bookshop, is there any chance any of the earlier work will make it over here?
Oh, I hope so. I mean, someone else asked me that the other day, and I that would be fantastic. I guess it's down to my publishers, and it's down to whether Berkeley want to buy my backlist. But obviously that would be sensational if that happened. So we'll see. But I'm working on a new one, and I hope that be able to find its way to America as well. Being published in America.
I can't wait to bring this book to our patrons. It's perfect for book discussions. Holy cow, is it perfect for book discussions? One of the things I wanted to ask you, your website, which is great, did the idea for How to Find Your Way Home, was any of that going to be a short story, or did you have any pieces like Stephen maybe or Emily, and then you brought them together?
On my website, it's all about my novels. I think I have written some short stories, but it's mostly about my long form fiction there. But yes, sometimes, you know, it does start off with a kind of short story idea. I don't think this one did really. It started off with the character of Stephen. Actually, another, what's the word, inspiration for it was that my partner's brother, he suffers from mental illness, but he's really obsessed with bird watching, and just watching how the bird watching helped him with his mental state, you know, was so calming for him and so kind of healing for him. That also gave me the idea for that. So that's kind of where that started from. And I'm also a journalist. So I write, you know, I meet lots of people and I interview lots of people for other stuff. So often I get ideas from that. I wouldn't say it did start from a short story. Yeah.
Your upcoming events, I presume, will be on the website wherever you're going to be interviewing and all of that. So I'll point listeners to not only your website, but that reader's guide. It's just, again, it's so, so nicely done.
Yeah,
It really is. And it also includes some of your book recommendations. And before I let you go, would you mind sharing some of those book recommendations to listeners?
Yeah, sure. I don't know whether I can remember exactly what I put in the reading group. I think one of the ones on there was Everyone Brave is Forgiven by Chris Cleave, which is a love story set in the Second World War. And I absolutely adore Chris Cleave's writing. He wrote a book called The Other Hand as well, which might have been called Little Bee in the States.
Yes.
He's just such a thoughtful, powerful, emotionally powerful writer, I think. I love his books. And I've just finished one called Small Pleasures by Claire Chambers, which is set, I don't particularly like historical fiction, but it just so happens that that's one I've enjoyed recently. That's sort of set in the 50s, and it's about a woman who claims to have had a virgin birth. Yeah, it's really kind of quirky and it's great.
What a book that was.
Yeah, yeah. Did you read that?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, I know. I loved it. I didn't expect a lot. It's a quiet little quirky book, isn't it? But it's not quiet. Yeah.
And it does these things. She does these things in these quiet ways. And then the next thing you know, she pulls you. I don't know how Absolutely. She does that. Talk about alchemy. You guys have it. I do not.
No, she really has alchemy in that book. It's kind of it comes up when you're least expecting it, doesn't it? And sort of grabs you. It's And then a friend of mine's just finished a book called I Get Asked to, Quote on Books. And so my friend Lola J has just finished a book called Attic Child, which I read the galley of. And that's a real epic historical book set in the sort of Black history around the late 1800s. Early 1900s. And it's a fantastic story. It's just epic. It spans like decades. It's so well done. So I've just finished that. And that's out in March in the UK. I don't know whether or when it's out in the US.
Waterstones can expect to get my payment for that. Yeah. If I can't get it as
so good. Yeah. Oh. So that's what I've been reading at the moment. I'm always reading something, as you can imagine.
The very last thing, I know I said the last question was my last question, but no, I just want to know, is your friend Roger offering birding tours?
Oh my God, he would love that. Yeah, he would love that. Roger is in his kind of late 80s. In fact, he might be 90 by now, but he knows an awful lot about birds. Yeah, he's a force to be reckoned with.
Okay, well, tell him to look for a short little brown-haired woman coming after the pandemic is over. I can say, okay. I say, Katie sent me. Like that. Okay. This has been an amazing interview. I so appreciate your time. Today's book, How to Find Your Way Home, by today's guest, Katie Regan, is available. So please grab a copy at your local library or please visit your local independent bookstore. How to Find Your Way Home is published by Berkeley, which is an imprint of Penguin Random House. Katie Regan, oh my goodness, thank you so much for joining me today on Miracle Libraries Top Shelf.
Thank you. Fantastic. Thank you for your support. I really appreciate it.
I am so grateful. I hope you'll join me again for whatever comes next.
Oh, absolutely. Please. Yeah, keep me away. Thank you so much, Caroline.
Thank you all listeners for joining me today. Remember to follow Top Shelf at Merrick Library on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and wherever you find most podcasts. For the latest and the greatest at the Merrick Library, check out our website at merricklibrary.org. Special thanks to Merrick Library Director Dan Chusmere, Assistant Director Diane Bondi, and the Merrick Library Board of Directors for getting us off the ground and on to the airwaves. Until the next time, remember to keep us on your top shelf.